Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Get all your GAA essentials at Michael Murphy Sports, the go-to place for outdoor training gear and more at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Well, coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be looking ahead to a double helping of Ulster finals this Saturday in Clonus at St Cernach's Park. Donegal are taking on Armagh in the Ulster Senior Ladies and the Ulster Senior Men's finals this coming weekend. Armagh going as favourites for the Ladies final, but Donegal, of course, are the reigning men's champions and looking to successfully defend the Anglo-Celt Cup. We'll be speaking to one of the legends from 92, Tony Boyle, will be joining us on the programme tonight to look ahead to both of those games. Plus, on the hurling front, Mickey McCann's Donegal side are looking for a second win of the Christy Ring Cup competition. They are taking on London at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Saturday. We'll be hearing from the Donegal hurling boss real soon on the programme tonight as well. But first of all, on the Score programme tonight, we're talking League of Ireland football, and joining us is former Finn Harps skipper and captain Keith Cowan and member of the invincible Letterkenny Rovers side who won the league title recently, Keith Cowan. Keith, how are you doing?
Oh, it's good. Oh, I've seen that. Thanks for bringing that up. Actually, I was meaning to talk to you about that invincible season.
we're tipping the hat here to Letterkenny Rovers because they lost one game all season, and that was in the FAI Junior Cup against Mervyn United. And on, you haven't lost a game, you can call it domestically, locally here in Donegal. But you are the league champions, and the season's not done. You still have another game to come this weekend. Another cup competition, Keith, against Kilmacrenan.
Yeah, we got Kilmac on Sunday, which, you know, it's going to be another interesting tie. You know, we've played Kilmac twice out of this season and managed to beat them on both occasions. But look, I guess there's a cup competition, and you know they'll be out to get a bit of revenge, no doubt. And you know, I'm sure they'll fancy themselves too with what they have available. I think, you know, they have a very good squad, and you know, if they can get everybody on the pitch, it'll definitely be a tough game for us on Sunday. Yeah.
You have won more in the last couple of months with Letterkenny Rovers than you did in your entire footballing career. Is that correct, Keith?
Yeah, you're probably right there. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up too. I think I finally found my level. You know, I think maybe this is just where I'm supposed to be, and maybe the other clubs that I was at just were maybe a bit too much for me. But no, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying being at Letterkenny at the moment. It's enjoying being part of a winning squad, and you know, no matter what level you play at or what thing, you know, winning trophies is a nice feeling, and getting medals is a nice feeling. So, yeah, I'm just enjoying it at the moment, and long may it last.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, well, listen, what about Fun Harps and Derry City? We'll start with Harps back at home. Athlone Town are the opposition. After a good spell, they've lost back-to-back games, but Kevin McHugh's side are now taking on one of the sides sitting at the bottom of the table in Athlone Town. This is a good enough game for Harps, do you feel, this weekend, that they can get something from, that they can have a real crack at it? Because they haven't been shy in scoring goals at Finn Park this season, Keith.
No, they haven't, you know, and I think, I suppose, like, with Kevin coming in at the time, and, you know, they did get that bounce, you know, that we talk about, that you get from a new manager, although Kevin obviously had been around the setup, you know, for a while now, and you know, being assistant manager to Darren Murphy this season, started really well. You know, a couple of I suppose, what I think it was six games unbeaten, maybe coming at that time. You know, losing the last two games, which will be difficult, but again, they were difficult games. If you look at the squad that Finn Harps have at the moment, you know, it is a young squad. You know, you have your David Colleys, you know, you have your Tony McNamee, Connor Tourish. You know, vast experience there. But if those lads aren't available to you, you know, you're looking then at some younger players. I can even throw, sorry, Mikey Place into that, you know, experience bracket also. You're looking at your young lads. And unfortunately with young lads, what you have is inconsistency. So that's where you'll see the results, you know, some good results, some bad results. And, you know, through no fault of their own, that lack of experience, just, you know, it will mean that, you know, they're not going to be on it every game. They're still learning the game. They're still learning, you know, how to prepare for games and for travel and so on like that. So it is going to be difficult for Kevin. He'll know that as well. For Kevin McHugh's, you know, had a great career. His standards, I was even speaking to one of the players there last week, and, you know, he was saying that, you know, the standards since Kevin has taken over, it's gone higher again, you know. And I know from, I suppose, playing along with Kevin, there's not too many lads that I've seen that would have put in, that would have had the work ethic that he has in terms of his own performance. He would have made sure no stone unturned. He would have been there, you know, before training or after training, bag of balls, trying to get that little bit of extra, that little bit of sharpness. And he now will be, you know, teaching that to these young players. So especially the likes of young Darren McGinnis, you know, young Mike Gettier, you know, that are on the, at that end of the pitch, they'll be learning so much from him, and that's only going to help them and help Harps as they go forward through the season.
Yeah. You mentioned young McAteer. Big week for him. He's over in Scotland on trial with Celtic. Now, he is going to be back for the game tomorrow night, so he is, but he is a Celtic fan, and listen, that's a massive experience for him, for such a young lad to be over at a club like Celtic, and listen, there could be something coming at the end of this for him.
Yeah, like if he keeps working hard, you know. Speaking of Darren Murphy last year, and he was one that just said to me, "Watch this guy, what a player he is," you know. So being a young guy, and you know, I suppose going to your boyhood club like that, and you know, going on trial and trying to, I suppose, prove your credentials. Look, he's an international at the age he is. You know, with the Irish underage setup, and you know, I guess like. These experiences, and being not even just a bit part, you know, he's quite a main player for Harps at the moment with what he can do on the pitch and when he's on the ball. So look, if he can, you know, sometimes we talk about players and, you know, when they go to these academies or they go across the water, will they be exposed to men's football? He is at the moment. So that's only going to, you know, help him improve. So, yes, it's nice to be involved with clubs like Celtic and, you know, going on trial and, you know, these big clubs. But, you know, sometimes what we see now with League of Ireland players, they stay here for that little bit longer. They are exposed to, like I say, men's football, senior football, and that can help them in the long run. But, you know, all credit to him. You know, it's great to get these, you know, get these trials and, you know, being talked about in such circles as Celtic Football Club.
No, it's fantastic for him, so it is, and it's fantastic for the club as well. But just back to the task at hand, which is Athlone. Listen, there was a big investment put into that club. They were hoping for a better season. They're sitting bottom off the table. They haven't picked up a win in their last 8 games. So as we said, this is a good opportunity for Harps to get back to winning ways here, Keith, and get 3 points, a possible 3 points on the board tomorrow night.
It is definitely, yeah. Look, you have to be looking to win your home matches, and they'll be looking at this one as a big, you know, another place where they can probably pick up 3 points. Athlone in a bit of transition at the moment. New manager coming in, Ian Ryan, you know, who was at Bray previously and was at Shells as well, so he's got a lot of experience. They have just been taken over again by another consortium, the Tiger 11, which own one of the National League clubs in England. And I think they own Siena as well, a Serie B team in Italy. So, you know, they will be thinking that there is opportunity here for Athlone to do something. I was surprised with that in terms of what Athlone have in their squad. You know, they've got some great players in there, but it just hasn't really clicked for them. You know, I kind of maybe tipped them to be further up the table. But again, look, it can all happen in terms of, you know, when you have too many good players in there, what do you go with? And maybe this new manager, maybe Ian Ryan will come in now and he'll be able to get them, you know, more settled. You know, they picked up a good result there last week against Dundalk, you know, who's to the top of the league. I think they're Dundalk's the only unbeaten side in the country at the moment, beat across the League of Ireland. So, I think it's going to be a tough game for Harps. It won't be easy. We mentioned the players that they're missing, you know, that be a bit of experience. But yeah, look, it's an opportunity for 3 points, definitely. Yeah.
Conor Tourish, obviously a key man in the defence of Harps, not available. He won't be back until mid-June. But kickoff is 7:45. Jeremy Doherty will have live updates from Fun Park tomorrow night for Harps against Athlone Town as of the kickoff time. Elsewhere, Wexford are taking on Cove Ramblers, and that is fifth hosting third. UCD go up against Longford Town. Kerry are second from bottom, well, joint bottom of the table with Athlone Town, just ahead in goal difference. They took on Treaty United. But the top of the table clash is Dundalk against Bray Wanderers. Keith, you were very much firmly on the belief that Dundalk would dominate this first division. Can Bray Wanderers trouble them tomorrow night?
Yeah, look, Bray have been another good run as well. And, you know, they have the squad, they have the experience there that can, you know, challenge Dundalk definitely. You know, when we saw them at Finn Park there a couple of weeks ago and, you know, Harps dealt out a 5-0 thrashing of them, we wouldn't have thought Bray would have kicked on. But look, they've done that. And it just shows at any point of the season, a team can sort of regroup and then, you know, move on from that. So look, I expect Bray, I'll give them a tough game, but Dundalk just look so good at the moment. Like I mentioned there before, you know, the only undefeated team in the country. And once you get into that sort of mid-season, you know, then you're looking at sort of transfer windows and stuff. And if Dundalk think that they, you know, need to add, you know, they're very much in a place to do so. So look, Kieran Goldoff, he's an experienced manner. He's very cute. He knows what he's doing. You know, has put himself in a position where he's going to a club that is going to, or is looking like it's going to get promoted unless a complete collapse. So yeah, no, look, it'll be an interesting game. If Dundalk can get over the line that one, look, you're looking very much for who's going to play for second and third after that.
You did, of course, predict that Dundalk would win the first division title. You also predicted Derry City are going to win the Premier Division. Things have turned around at the Brandywell, so they have, Keith.
Yeah, maybe not just as cut and dry yet for Derry. You know, I suppose when you look at how they started the season, they've won two on the bounce now, you know, and they've actually won four of their last five. That's a start.
But they were big ones, Keith, like Shelburne and St. Pat's, like that. They're two huge victories.
Oh, they are, definitely. They are, you know, and that's, I know, I suppose, games that last year that, you know, that they would have struggled, teams that they would have struggled against. Look, I think I've mentioned Michael Duffy every occasion that I can, you know, and they're very much reliant on him. You know, six goals already this season, you know, is a great return. But I think, when you're bringing in so many new players, it can be difficult. And I suppose cutting, you know, tearing a bit of slack in terms of, you know, bringing in so many players, you know, time to settle and all that there. 1-1-5 wasn't a great start that we looked at. And then, you know, was there questions that, you know, was tearing the right man? Are these players hungry enough? Now, that still remains to be seen. We're not handing out any trophies just yet. But at the minute, they put themselves in a great position. And they seem to have turned it around. But I guess we just have to see how things go. Big game coming up at the weekend. Having to go to Cork, which, you know, is obviously the trip in itself. Cork don't lose too many at home. I think they only lost once at home this season. So they're sticky, you know, a sticky outfit to go down and try and get a win against. But look, I think Derry have the squad and I would expect them to, you know, continue their good form and pick up 3 points.
Derry could be top of the table come tomorrow night, because if they do pick up the full points that you expect them to do against Cork, Shamrock Rovers are playing your old club Drogheda United, who are the leaders. That's a game which could end in a draw, and if that is the case, Derry would be top of the table. What about the Drogs this season, your old mates down there? They're going well, Keith, so they've only lost two of their 14 matches now. They've picked up six draws, and then they probably felt they should have won a few more and should be further ahead. But it's a season that's been going very, very well, but now they're really going to be tested.
Yeah, I think if you look at the return fixture, they Shamrock Rovers beat them at home. I think they scored late on in a 2-1. I think Drogs missed a penalty late on. I think that was actually what it was. But anyway, they lost the game. I think if they can go to Tala this weekend and win, I think then you're sort of thinking, right.
Can they win at Tala? Right?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm saying that there, but I was on the flip side of that. I was just going to say how well
is that head or heart?
That could be a bit of heart, but you know what? It's becoming a bit of both. They're starting to align for maybe the first time. They're starting to align because although I do think that they're capable of going there and winning. Shamrock Rovers have been going very well. You know, they have been playing really well. I was looking at the squad they have available. You know, that injury list is nowhere near what it was, say, last season or even at the start of this season. You know, you've got everybody fit. You've got Jack Byrne in there pulling the strings. You know, you have Green in there who's, you know, just joined this Centurion Club, 100 goals. Burke in there, like one of the goals that they scored against Sligo there on Monday night. You know, if anybody gets a chance to look at it, it was real, real quality. you know, and that's what they have available to them. Look, a difficult place to go, Tala, but Drogheda do well there. You know, Drogheda do well going to Tala. But I just think maybe in terms of, I suppose, the respect now that Drogheda have gained because of how they have started the season. You know, before they could have been taken lightly and, you know, have on occasions to other teams, you know, detriment. I just think if Drogheda can go there and get anything, it'll be a good result.
It would be fantastic for the Drogs if they can get a result at the Tala Stadium. We wait to see if that is going to happen. Another big game, another big Dublin fixture, the champion Shelburne against the side that many people were tipping for this year's St. Patrick's Athletic. That's taking place at Tulka Park. Both of these sides will obviously be looking to bounce back after their defeats to Derry City.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, it's one you can sort of see, you know, obviously you're keeping a close eye and you're listening to interviews and stuff like that. You know, Shell's down in seventh. Damien Duff would have been looking to kick on from last season, you know, of the champions. They would want to, you know, I suppose, reaffirm what they did the year before. And, you know, that sort of hasn't just materialized a bit. But they're only 5 points off top spot, you know, and that league is, the league at the minute is probably one of the best it's been in terms of the competitiveness. I don't think that's any accident. You know, looking at that, every team now is full time. You know, usually you would have had maybe your top eight and then the two at the bottom. You know, someone who comes up is just going to go straight back down again. You know, that's not looking like it's going to be the case. Yes, Sligo were slightly cut adrift at the moment, but there's so many, there's just so much quality within the league right now. Yes, Shell's lost their last two. Pats with 1-1-5. You know, not what you would expect it from them. Still, obviously, look in fourth position and still can go top this weekend if things go their way. Look, it's just a really exciting league. Like I said, with anybody be able to take points off anyone else. And yeah, look, I think that's just a great thing for the league, and it makes every game interesting. You know, no dead rubbers or no, you know, kind of so-called, you know, weaker sides or boring sides maybe playing against each other. So yeah, look, it's a great thing for the league, and just, you know, long may it last.
The other games in the Premier Division, Waterford United, who are actually eighth in the table, they sit 6 points off the leaders Drogheda, so that's how tight it is. They're hosting Galway United. And then on Saturday, Sligo Rovers looking to move off the bottom of the table and try and take a third one of the year. They're playing host to Bohemians. That game is on Saturday. So there you go. That's your preview of the Friday night games in the League of Ireland, both in the First Division and the Premier Division. As always, Keith Cowan, many thanks for joining us on the show.
Excellent, Austin. Thanks a million. Cheers for having me.
Oh, no bother. And enjoy the football the weekend. We'll talk again soon.
Cheers, Austin. Good man. Thank you.
And as you heard Keith mention at the start of that piece, Letterkenny Rovers are playing Kilmacrenan and Celtic in the second semi-final of the Brian McCormick Cup at the Diamond Park in Ballyhale. That one starts at 4 on Sunday. Before that, Donegal Town are taking on Castlefin Celtic. It kicks off at 1:30. Some of the other big games this weekend, the Voodoo Cup finals taking place on Saturday. Gwydor Celtic are up against a Kildrum Tigers. There's another meeting of Clonmany Shamrocks and Cockhill Celtic in Inishowen. This time it's in the Donegal Signs Challenge Cup final. McGinn Park is the venue on Saturday. 4 o'clock is the start time. And as always, extra time and penalties if required there. And the Division 1 champions in Inishowen will be crowned on Sunday. Cockhill Youths are taking on QPS. That is the Division 1 League final playoff. So whoever wins that game will be crowned champions. Okay, we're going for a quick commercial break. Lots of Gaelic games on the way after these.
Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Get all your GAA essentials at Michael Murphy Sports, the go-to place for outdoor training gear and more at michaelmurphysports.ie.
And welcome back to the Score programme. It is, of course, a big day for two Donegal teams on Saturday. It's a doubleheader of Ulster finals at St Chinnock's Park in Clonus, as the Donegal senior ladies and the Donegal senior men will meet Armagh in their respective deciders. And part of the commentary team for the men's game this weekend is 92 All-Ireland winner Tony Boyle, who joins us now in the programme to look forward to these games. Tony, how you doing? Thanks for joining us again.
Yeah, Oisín, all good, all good. Excited about the big doubleheader on Saturday. It's going to be a brilliant, brilliant occasion. Obviously, you know, great credit must go to the Ulster Ladies Board and the Ulster Men's Board, you know, to set these two games up on the one day. You know, I think it's especially good for the Gaers, because obviously maybe they don't get the same exposure. So you'd imagine by then, going into the second half of the ladies' final, there'll be a very, very large crowd gathering for the men. So hopefully it'll lead to two good results for Donegal.
Have you got your ticket yet, Tony? There's a clamour for tickets, so there is
just
this
about.
Week.
There's a scramble on. I've never seen anything like it. Oisín, it's brilliant. You know, listen, also finals are big every year, no matter who's in them. You know, but I think the fact that obviously what happened in last year's Ulster final, and then you know us to win it, and Armagh then to go on and win an All Ireland. You know, to for the All Ireland champions, for us to be coming up against All Ireland champions in Ulster final, and you've added an incentive for them. They haven't won an Ulster title, I don't think since the early 2000s, you know, so that's probably hanging over them a bit. So it is just to the makings of a great day. So hopefully the weather will be good, and it'll be a fantastic occasion Saturday.
Yeah, massive crowd. It's going to be a sellout. And listen, we're all hoping we get a really, really entertaining game. It was interesting. I was watching the highlights back from last year's final, the one that Donegal obviously won in penalties and the men's decider. And the rules have all changed since then. And looking how the championships panned out, yes, Armagh are definitely a better team than what they were when we met them in the league in Balbuffet earlier in the year. Who's these rules suiting the best now, do you feel, Tony?
That's a good question, Oisín. You know, I think obviously with teams that have 2-point shooters, as they call them now, they can kick scores from outside the arc, because you know before if a team had a 4 or 5 point lead going into the last 15 minutes, you know the game was more or less over. You know, you could game manage, you could close it down, you get everyone behind the ball. Whereas now, you know, a 10 point lead at half time, especially if there's a slight breeze, you can't say that the game is over. So, as regards between ourselves and Armagh, it's very, very difficult to call. You know, a lot of people were saying at the start of the year that Donegal were one of the favourites for the not alone the Ulster Championship but the All Ireland. Now, to be fair, I thought they'd done enough against Derry in the first round. You know, at times Derry causes a wee bit of trouble, you know, goal chances in the first half, but we always seem to have a second gear, and it seems to be that same way against Monaghan and against Down. You know, we just seem to be doing enough to get over the line, which is one way is good, but I think we're going to have to step up the performance on Saturday, because a lot of people, you know, are saying that Jim's got a bit of depth in the squad, and he's certainly done that from the point of view of, you know, now young Finbar Rorty is a regular starter. Obviously we have Michael back, but by the two of them, Oisín, most of the rest of the panel have been there thereabouts this last couple of years. But if anything, Armagh's panel has deepened even further, because I think it was 6 or 7 players that started the All-Ireland final last year only started against Tyrone. And obviously they've a couple of fines on young McCormick and McQuinnell have started the last couple of games. Callum O'Neill around the middle of the field, he kicked 3 points against Tyrone. You know, players like this that have, you know, that sort of maybe been in the background but didn't feature last year, all of a sudden, you know, Kieran McGinney now is probably men that played in an All-Ireland final last year, ready, pushing to come back as well. So it's going to be a big task for Donegal. You know, we're going to really need a big performance to get over the line this week.
Yeah, going by what you're saying then, you feel Donegal actually haven't hit top gear yet in the championship, and if it is the case, they're going to need to find that top gear on Saturday.
That's what I feel like. You know, when even the atmosphere at the games, Oisín, I would have felt, especially that day in Balbuffet, it felt very much like Donegal people expected Donegal to win, and Derry people expected Derry to lose, and there was no real, you know, it didn't hit that championship fever. You know, we always seemed to have that other gear that could step up. Monaghan, to be fair, which we always knew Monaghan were going to put up a decent challenge like they always do to Donegal, and to be fair, you know, it's a game that could have went to extra time, but you still felt that Donegal, every time they had to step it up, they did do that. And again, you know, I'm sure Jim wasn't happy against the performance against Down, because, you know, it was sloppy. We gave up a couple of goal chances. Now, probably the positive on that side, we created 2 or 3 goal chances. We got one. Probably should have had another 2 or 3, and we may need that on Saturday evening. I think the team that can get goals on an Ulster final day you know, they will be hard to beat, and that's something that we're going to have to try and focus on to see can we get inside that Armagh defence and create a couple of goal chances, and hopefully we'll do that on Saturday evening.
Yeah. Obviously, the role of the goalkeepers is hugely important, and sort of contrasting roles from Sean Paton and Ethan Rafferty. But Armagh have been boosted by Rafferty's return for the championship, and of course coming back in later in the league. Is that sort of the key area which could decide this game at the weekend between these two guys?
I think it definitely is, Austin, because obviously now where you've got to keep the three back, you can really, really put a big press on kickouts. And I'm, to be honest, I'm surprised, because I thought when they changed the rule on the keeper not being, you know, the keeper having to stay back, or an extra defender having to stay back, I thought actually Blaine Hughes would have probably come back into the goals for Armagh, because I thought, you know, Ethan wasn't going to get that opportunity to come up as much, you know. But as he showed in the semi-final, I think Jarlett Burns won the kick out and got hurt, but he managed to crawl back across the halfway line to let Ethan join the attack, and he was involved in the play that got them the one and score. But I think, listen, I think everyone knows that Sean Paton is probably still the best in the country at getting the kickouts away. I think that's going to have a big bearing in the match, and I think that's probably important, that hopefully, you know, Jason McGee's fit to start, Keelan McGonigal will be back, and if we can get the likes of Keelan and Jason and Michael and Kieran Thompson, Michael Lang and Kieran Thompson across the middle of the field and put a real squeeze on Ethan's kickouts. Now, to be fair to him, I think he had nearly a flawless performance against Tyrone and nearly got all the kickouts away against Tyrone in the semi-final, but I think it's something that Jim will definitely target. And I think it's hard to believe that, you know, that it could come down to a tale of kickouts and who can get the most kickouts away on Saturday, and who decides who wins the match.
Yeah, is it a different Armagh team now compared to last year? Because we've seen they had what advantages of 5 points at certain stages in the Ulster final last year, and let that slip go, and ultimately lost on penalties. But then they went on to win an All Ireland, so they did. And I suppose it's back to the point earlier as well. We played them in the league, and we have to sort of discard that altogether. If you count out the league game earlier in the year, is this Armagh team maybe more dangerous, more clinical, maybe more savvy now going into this game this time around?
I think, Oisín, the big one is probably the your last term on them is more savvy. You know, I think obviously Armagh went into that Ulster final last year hadn't lost the previous one on penalties, and having lost a couple of big matches on penalties, you know, just they seemed to be a team that couldn't get over the line. And listen, if we've been honest about it, when Armagh were 5 points up, I was standing up on the hill last year, and I thought the game was gone. You know, Niall O'Donnell kicked a spectacular score to get us back into the game. But Armagh had a couple of chances before that and didn't take them on. And I thought if Armagh to get one more score, you know, we were probably gone. But I think that was sort of maybe just didn't have that confidence to go on because they'd lost so many big games. Now, the difference this time around, they lost that big game. I thought it would have been very, very difficult for Kieran McGinney to lift them. But again, he unearthed a couple of guys last year, Grimley, that didn't play any Ulster Championship football and ended up being one of their best players in the All-Ireland series. So he ended up unearthing a few guys. They went on to win in All-Ireland, so that pressure of losing big matches now is gone from them. Obviously, the Ulster final is something that they'll be really keen to win, but I think they're even more dangerous this year, Oisín, because that pressure of, or that tag that was on them, that they choked in big games. Now, listen, penalty shootouts are a lottery, really, but they came out the wrong side of a lot of them. But they've got that monkey off the back, and they do seem to be a wee bit more relaxed when the games are going down the stretch, and they showed that against Tyrone, because, you know, they probably dominated loads of the game against Tyrone. But then when Tyrone took the lead with a couple of minutes to go, you know, Armagh still, they stayed calm, and it's probably that confidence from one in all Ireland, you know, it gives you an extra 10-15% and, you know, confidence and momentum that you have that in the bank, and they probably showed that. So listen, I think they're probably a better team going in to this year's Ulster final than they were last year, and that makes them a dangerous proposition for Donegal.
So then, just on the senior men's decider, finally, what's it going to take from Donegal if they are to get over the line and retain the Anglo-Celt Cup, because it's a difficult thing to win, but it can be even harder to retain it, so it can. But Donegal have an opportunity to do that again under Jim McGuinness. What's it going to take, Tony?
Yeah, it's going to take an unbelievable, savage performance from not only the starting 15, but you're going to have to have you know, 4, 5, 6 subs that are come on to make a real, real difference. You know, I think it's vital, Oisin, that we have our strongest 15. I know people say you like to hold a couple of players to come off the bench to make a difference, but to me, if Keelan McGonigal's fit, he's got to go back in there. If Jason McGee's fit, he's got to start in the middle of the field. I would also have Michael, and I would also have Oisin Gallen. And you know, Oisin seems to be struggling with a wee bit of confidence at the minute to get his game back. But you don't be an all star last year and then become a bad player all of a sudden. I think it's just a confidence issue. And I think if Oisin can come in like he did, you know, and show the form that he showed in last year's Ulster final and kick a few early scores, I think that, you know, that breeds confidence not only for him but through the team. But they will need probably not only their best performance this year's championship, but probably the best performance since Jim comes back to retain this title. You know, but I've no doubt Jim, you know, Jim will have them ready. And you know, it's you know, to retain your Ulster title against All Ireland champions, Oisin would be absolutely fantastic on Saturday evening.
There is, of course, another game. The Donegal ladies are playing Armagh, the opening match at 3 o'clock. You've got a very, very keen interest, of course, in ladies football. You are the manager of the recently crowned Donegal Gaeltacht champions at Dunloe, I suppose. First of all, on that note in this section, Tony, a fully deserving one on Bank Holiday Monday over Termin down in Ardrahan. And I'm sure the girls will get a huge confidence lift of that now going into the championship later on in the year.
Yeah, Oisin, listen, I'll be completely honest, and I said it to the Gaelics, it wasn't one that I expected. You know, listen, Termin are still the standard bearers in ladies football in Donegal, and we played them last year in a league semi-final, and the Gaelics got a real eye-opener of you know, where we were compared to where Termin were. Listen, Monday we probably had nearly our strongest panel out, and the Gaelics played very, very well. I was just looking at it afterwards. I think we had 10 of our starting 15 were 19 years and younger. We had a couple of 15, 16 year olds as well. We have a lot of good stuff coming through in the club, but I still thought it would be a wee bit too early. So listen, absolutely brilliant to beat a team of the calibre of Termin. To want a senior Gaeltacht, as I said, it wasn't on the bingo card for the weekend, for the bank holiday weekend, but it's great. We've looked forward to an All Ireland now. But listen, Termin ladies, senior ladies, will still be the region hot favourites for the championship. But it'll give our girls a bit of a boost. And as I said, if it does anything, I think our senior county ladies are probably going in sort of as the same underdogs as we were on Sunday Saturday against Armagh. Hopefully that might give them a boost that these things can be done against the odds.
Yeah, and maybe Armagh ladies have an eye on an All-Ireland, and they may, it can happen at times that they may take the eye slightly off the task at hand, which at times can aid the opposition.
Absolutely. You know, we've seen it before where teams go in and region hot favourites, and listen, make no doubt about it, Oisin, the Armagh senior ladies are region hot favourites for Saturday, and that's not me saying it from a Donegal point of view. You know, if you consider they won the Division 1 title last year, they were beaten in All-Ireland semi-final last year, they were beaten in the league Division 1 final this year, and Donegal are in a transitional period. You know, you know when you lose the type of players of Niamh McLaughlin, Amy Boyle, Carr, you know, Katie Hare and Katie Long, I think there's probably 7 or 8 of the team that started the semi-final last year that are no longer available, and you've probably replaced that with all minors from last year, with some very, very, very talented minors. But it is a transitional period. But listen, I've seen the girls and a lot of their league matches in Division 2, and they've done very, very well with that amount. You know, with a new manager, James, came in, he was a wee bit late coming in, but hey, to be fair, they got a couple of good early results away from home, and they managed to keep their Division 2 status, which was brilliant, very, very important. But it is going to be a big, big ask, because it's a very, very inexperienced team. But I'll get, you know, you'd be guaranteed that they'll be set up well, and you'd hope that if we're still in the game going into the last quarter, we could be in with a good chance.
Yeah, hopefully so. Well, listen, Tony, you'll not be standing on the hill, so you're not this year. You'll be joining us on our commentary position for the men's game, which starts at 5:25. The ladies' match is up and running once again at 3 o'clock on Saturday. I'll be joined in commentary there by former Donegal player and All-Ireland club winner with Terman, Maureen O'Donnell. So you'll not miss a thing here in Highland. Tony, we'll see you on Saturday. Thanks for joining us tonight in the Score programme.
No problem, Oisín. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
And Tony, of course, will be part of our commentary team alongside Brendan Kilcoyne for that men's game on Saturday. By the way, there is a full programme dedicated to a preview of the Ulster Finals. Brendan Devaney's DL debate aired last Monday from Sister Sarah's in Letterkenny. You can listen back and indeed watch back that show now, which is available in the playback in the sports sections of our website, highlandradio.com. Also available on our website as well is two preview pieces from both the men's and the ladies' camps. You can hear from goalkeeper Gavin Mulroney and also as well Abigail Ozuku of the Donegal senior ladies' side as they look forward to their respective deciders. That's all available now on our website, highlandradio.com. But from a spectator point of view, let's get some more details now as to what's happening, of course, on Saturday. And I'm delighted to say I'm joined by the PRO of Donegal GA, Sinead Breen. Hello, Sinead.
Hi, Oisín. Thanks very much for having me.
Well, listen, Sinead, what's the best advice from Donegal executive and Donegal GA point of view for spectators who are off to the big final on Saturday?
Okay, it's a huge day for our county. Obviously, we have our own senior men in the final at 5:25, but the Donegal senior ladies are playing in their final before that at 3 p.m. So we would really encourage everybody, first of all, to get there early and get parked. It's absolutely imperative that everybody bears in mind that they need to download their tickets in advance. There'll be approximately 30,000 people at the ground at the one time, and network is not great at the best of times, so it's really, really imperative that you download your tickets in advance.
So download your tickets before you head off on Saturday morning. Have them on your phone. If you want to print them out, you can do that as well. But
you want to print them out, yeah. You can download them to whatever wallet, a Google or Apple wallet in advance, or just download them onto your phone and you can open them that way. But as I say, it is essential that you're not trying to do that at the ground. And also, it's really important that people will pay attention to on Garda Síochána press releases that are going out between now and the final, just with advice on routes. Traffic is going to be absolutely at a standstill, you know, for a couple of hours after the game. So just bear in mind that what An Garda Síochána are saying just needs to be adhered to.
And listen, Sinead, there's been a clamour for tickets, obviously a huge interest in the finals with two teams involved. 80% of people will be happy with their ticket allocation. There will be the odd 20% that's disgruntled about not having the tickets that they'd hoped for, but that is the case every time when it comes to big games. Donegal GA have exhausted all avenues this week in trying to keep everybody happy ahead of the final, but it's a situation. It is what it is, and we just have to move on with it.
It is what it is. Yeah, as you say, the vast majority are going to be happy. There's been every effort made to accommodate as many people as we possibly can. But having said that, we can only distribute what we have to distribute. And look, it is our hope that 99% of people that go to every single game are getting to attend this one. You know, it's been a great season so far, and please God, the best is yet to come. But we're not going to please all the people all the time, but the best efforts have been made to do so.
Just finally then, Sinead, the latest fundraising drive as well by Donegal GAA is up and running ahead of the final. Tell us about it.
It is indeed, yes. Look, I suppose we have our 50-50, which is on every month. That will go to the draw on, I suppose, Sunday evening, roughly about 6 p.m. And I'll have the winner's details out after that. So you can play that on our app or any of our social media accounts. But before the Ulster final, we also have our Ulster Squares initiative. So there's €2,500 in prizes. There's up to 100 entries available. And there's a half-time prize of €1,000 and a full-time prize of €1,500. And anybody that would like to take part, they can contact Kieran Kelly on 087-245-0505, or obviously get in touch with myself on any of our social media channels. That's we're on everything, so just send us a DM. But look, we're really asking for the support, not just for this team, for all of our teams. The money that we take into this goes towards running all of our costs relating to our various codes. You know, we've our senior hurlers in Nicky Rackard on Saturday as well, at 12:30 in Letterkenny. Anyone that can't make the game in Clonus, please come out and support those boys. You know, they've given it their all. But we need to be able to financially back these teams, so we're dependent on your support, please.
Okay then, Sinead, many thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Saturday in Clonus, and hopefully we'll have another successful weekend at the Monaghan venue.
Hopefully. Thanks, Oisin. See you there.
Well, as you heard Sinead mention there, there is another important hurling match for Mickey McCann's Donegal side as they play London at 12:30 at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny on Saturday as well. Donegal are chasing a second one in the competition. If that was to come this weekend, it would put them in a very, very strong position of staying in the Christy Ring competition for next season. Ahead of the game, Highlands' Mark Gallagher has been speaking to Mickey McCann as his side, of course, looked to make up for the defeat last time out as well against Wicklow.
Well, Mickey, facing into another big game in the Christy Ring this weekend, how have the preparations been going?
Mark, we had a good 2 weeks over us. The weather's been good and we've got a good few sessions under our belt since the Tyrone game. I suppose just since the Wicklow game was very frustrating for us. You know, it's a game we should have won and we missed a lot of chances on the day and left the game behind us. So the end of the Tyrone game is very important for us, you know, even to keep our status in the Christy Ring for next year. So to get a result there and was very important. And look, a bit of pressure on our forwards, but it really turned up the last day, which is a good sign. So hopefully we're carrying a bit of momentum now and a bit of confidence into the London match, which is going to be a big game for us, Mark, because I still think it's all to play for. You know, you pick up a couple of results in your last two games, it could be a possibility of a final, you know. But first and foremost, we try to get something out of London and Letterkenny on Saturday, you know.
After promotion from the Nicky record last year, that one over Tyrone last time out definitely would give you a bit of comfort in that you'll almost certainly be playing in the Christy Ring again next year. You've got a young team that are, you know, constantly developing. It's important for them to be playing at that higher level.
It is, Mark, you know, if you take it, you know, we run very tight very first in the first game, you know, with 3 or 4 points in it, and then we beat the Wicklow by one. So we're well able to compete at that level, you know. It'd really be a big blow to us if we were back down to Nicky record, you know, the time there. We need to stay up in the Christy Ring for to move things on in Donegal hurling, and that result over Tyrone is massive, you know. Now Tyrone's still 2 games to play, but they're two tough games ahead, and we'd be hoping to get something more out of the last 2 games. So massive result, and hopefully it's enough maybe to keep our status there. But as I say, we'll try to get another 2 points now on Saturday and 1 game at a time, and London's going to be a tough opposition for us, you know.
Yeah, just looking at the table, if you were to just take a glance at the league table, you might be fooled into thinking Donegal would, you know, just be happy to survive and play Christy Ring hurling next year. But there's a bit more at play here. A win on Saturday could leave you right in the mix to make the final of the competition, depending on how other results go.
Exactly, and I suppose the main thing is, you know, you have London and Meath to play, and if you beat both of them, it gives you a head-to-head over them. So if you ended up on level points, you know, it'll be enough to kick you through. And you need Derry and Meath to both beat Wicklow as well, which is quite possible because Derry and Meath are probably the best teams in it, Mark. So I think if we get out of Letterkenny on Sunday, or Saturday, sorry, and Meath beat Wicklow, you know, it's going to go down to the last day, really. We got a result against Meath away, and Derry beat Wicklow the last day. We'd have a head-to-head over Meath, so it's all to play for, but we can't look past that. Saturday, Mark, we try to get another 2 points on the board, and it'll be nice to bring it in the last week, you know, and have a chance of getting their final, you know. That's our aim.
So it is London this Saturday. They're a team you beat last year in Letterkenny, and maybe that's a good omen, although it is an improved London side. That one last year will certainly give you confidence heading into Saturday's game.
Yeah, I suppose London was beating us for years, you know, Mark, but we've turned the tide on them the last 2 or 3 times. We've got results against them. Normally when you get them away from home, they're you have a good chance, but they seem to be travelling very consistently this year, and it's a really settled team, and it's probably the strongest London team that's been out there since I've taken the job. So they beat Meath the first day out, which is a big shock, and they scored 5 goals that day. So they're a massive threat up front, Mark, really, really strong forward, aggressive, and really look for goals early. So our defence is going to have to be on guard, you know. And look, I think if we can stay in the game and take it down the stretch, run with a good shout, you know, with fitness and the conditional run. But London will fancy themselves coming here, and it's a very good, strong London team, you know.
Yeah, London, and then, as you said, if you do get over the hurdle of London, you'll have a big battle then against Meath the following weekend. I mean, on your day, with the strides you have made in recent years, Donegal are more than capable of winning both of those games, and that would really give us a great chance of finishing in the top 2.
Yeah, it's Mark Honor Day. We can put it up to anybody, you know, at this level, and we've shown that, and we've shown that throughout the league, you know, even the result against Kerry and getting a point against Derry, or, you know, there are a couple of points against Derry that last day, who's Christy Ring final last couple of years, you know. It's just to consistently, Mark, we'll be looking for just to consistently perform at that level. It's something we haven't been doing, you know. We've put in big performances, and then right the next week then drop back down to that level again. So, consistently getting there and getting a bit of confidence that we can compete and putting in the performance week on week is what it's about, you know, at that level. So that's something we'll be trying to do, is get two performances in a row now against London, you know, Tyrone, London, hopefully get two performances in a row. That's our aim.
Squad-wise, Mickey, we saw Jack O'Loughlin come off early against Tyrone. Is he still out, and do you have any other injury concerns heading into Saturday's game?
Jack O'Loughlin, I picked up a shoulder injury. Mark, he'd be missing the game and possibly the meet game as well, you know, so he's going to be a big loss for us, you know. And George Conley, he set out a one-match suspension, who's very effective for us up front against Tyrone, you know, and a big presence, and he's going to be a big loss for us. We have a couple of positions to fill up, you know, but it was a good panel, Mark, and his boys pushing for them positions, and we'll finalise things tonight at training, you know.
You touched on it there with Conley McGee out. That'll put the onus on the scores to come from elsewhere in the team. He got three goals against Tyrone. That'll be a fairly sizable hole to fill.
At well, and look, he's a very aggressive player, and he's been playing wing forward a couple of matches for us, but we felt the Tyrone full back line was there to be got at, you know, with somebody like his stature on there, and it proved on the day he was very effective, and it's going to be a massive loss for us, you know, but he likes Kevin Keeley pushing, Peter Kelly, Sean Ward, Ron McDermott, who all can play full forward too. So, big loss with Josh being out, but look, these boys hopefully can step up and take that position, you know.
Well, best of luck, Mickey, and thanks very much for joining us on the programme, and we'll talk to you again soon, all right?
Okay, Mark. Talk to you later.
Mickey McCann in conversation there with Highlands' Mark Gallagher. Also in that Christy Ring this weekend, Tyrone are playing Derry in Dungannon at 1 o'clock on Saturday, and Wicklow play host to Meath at 2 o'clock in Aughrim. In athletics, Guizhou in China is the venue for this weekend's World Athletics Relay Championships. And Ireland, of course, are looking to qualify their three teams for the World Championships in Tokyo. The Irish mixed, the women's and the men's 4x400 teams are competing at the relays, where the top 14 teams will then advance to Tokyo. Among those competing is Finn Valley's Conor Kelly. He had an impressive indoor season, breaking the Irish under 20 record, winning the national senior title before claiming a maiden Irish senior vest at the European Athletics Indoor Championships as part of the mixed 4x400 team. Kelly recently moved club, having previously run with the Derry Track Club. Letterkenny's Teresa McDade is Ireland team manager for that relays event this weekend. And finally, just one notice on the sports board this evening. Northwest Horse Racing, the first meet of the year, is taking place this coming Sunday, the 11th of May. Carndonagh is the venue. Racing starts at 1:30. And entries will be taken this Friday evening between 7 and 9 p.m. to the secretary by text only. But the new season up and running for the horse and pony racing, the Northwest Horse and Pony Racing Campaign. And fingers crossed they'll get the good weather for that on Sunday. And likewise for all the football and everything else that's happening this weekend as well. That's it from the Score programme for tonight. Don't forget, if you missed any of the show, you will be able to recap shortly in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. So it's left of your Thursday. From me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.